Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
The original Trailblazers owner Larry Weinberg passed away this week, and a lot of reminiscing about Harry Glickman and Larry Weinberg and how, you know, the Trailblazers came to be. And I think you can talk about Larry Weinberg and Harry Glickman and say, hey, there would be no Trailblazers in Portland if it weren't for those two guys. But what about the people who have worked with Larry Weinberg over the years? I wanted to get U.S. Senator Ron Wyden on the show to talk about Larry Weinberg and the strange tale of Arvydas Sabonis. How did these two guys work together in order to get Sabonis in Portland? And so joining me now, U.S. Senator Ron Wyden.
John.
How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Crazy time.
Yeah, I've seen. Are you working, or what does a shutdown mean to you?
I'm having town meetings. Of course I'm working. Yeah, I'm home and just had a listening to the future session at Cleveland, and then I'm starting seven town meetings, going to hear what Oregonians have to say, and I'll tell you, they really wish Donald Trump would listen to them and concentrate on their priorities, which is getting the government open, not the president's priority.
There you go. I want to talk to you about Larry Weinberg. I know that you've got a relationship with him. Let's get into that. He passes away. I think a lot of people say without Harry Glickman and Larry Weinberg, there would be no Trailblazers. You worked closely with him. What do you remember of your time with him?
He was really what I would call one of the world's great mensches. Just such a good man, great character. And I was the congressman that represented the Trailblazers on the east side for a number of years. And one of the things that was one of the most satisfying experiences I've had in sports is when they were trying to get Arvydas Sabonis to come to Portland to play, I was on a trip to the old Soviet Union, and he asked me to present a letter to the Soviet Sports Federation talking about how if Arvydas Sabonis came to Portland, he'd be well treated, he would have good trainers and good experts and nutrition and this sort of thing. And I went to the Soviet Sports Federation and presented a letter, essentially a courtesy letter from the Trailblazers to the Soviet Sports Federation, and I felt like I was in the Rocky movie. I felt like I was in the Rocky movie. You remember the one with
Ivan Drago, yes.
The one with the Soviet fighter, and I would like make a statement. I would talk about how the Portland Trailblazers and Larry Weinberg, the head of the team, want to extend every possible courtesy to Mr. Sabonis and ensure that he'll have good health care and he'll have good accommodations and good nutrition and that he will be well treated. And I would make a statement, you know, like that, young member of Congress and very earnest. And it was like the Soviet Sports Federation officials would say something like, yet, or, you know, something that would indicate either yes or no. And I felt like, oh my God, I'm just right in the Rocky movie, and I sure hope I get out of here and make it out of this this meeting room.
Did you get a sense from them at that time that they understood the NBA or they understand the Western world, or was that all you having to explain?
My sense, you know, is that there was a feeling in the room that maybe this had something to do with national security or something that would give the United States an advantage over the old Soviet Union in sort of a geopolitical way. And I kept saying, and I think somebody quoted it at the time, hey, we're not talking about, you know, arms control, you know, agreements, you know, here. We're talking about sports. We're talking about, in effect, breaking down walls and creating opportunities for people to learn from each other through sports. And I was here presenting a courtesy letter. This was in 1988, and it was a period when President Reagan and Gorbachev were looking to build better relations and, you know, more cooperation. I said, hey, in this spirit, make it possible for Mr. Sabonis to come to my hometown. And we're looking for it, John. We can't find it, but there's a great picture taken on the waterfront I'm 6'4". Sabonis looks like he's about 8'4", you know, with me, and I'm going to shoot it over to you if I find the pick.
We're talking to U.S. Senator Ron Wyden, and we're talking about Larry Weinberg, who, if you're just tuning in, passed away earlier this week. What was Weinberg like to work with? Because I never got to meet him, never got to talk with him.
Yeah, wonderful man, very soft-spoken, great success in the home building business after the war. And he and his wife, Barbie, basically, I felt like they were the essence of Rip City pride. You know, they were always, you know, flying up, making sure they're at every home game. And, you know, they were our loudest fans. And he, you know, when Jews talk about special, you know, characteristics, the highest compliment you can pay somebody is you can call them a mensch, really good character. They're decent. And I think you talk to the players and people like Bill Walton and, you know, just go back with all those guys and say, he really had a good heart. He was a good guy. And, of course, you know, Harry Glickman, you know, and Larry Weinberg called most of the shots then. And it was a great day. We all remember that championship.
I think the figures in Portland sports, you talk Harry Glickman, you talk about Larry Weinberg and Paul Allen, of course, who owned the team until his passing this last year. You've got Merritt Paulson, who's brought the Timbers to Portland. That's a big deal. The Convention Center projects, hotel project, that could result in an NBA All-Star game. How about the Diamond Project in Major League Baseball? Is that on your radar at all?
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, let's talk about what's happened in sports in the context you mentioned, is that what you have seen, particularly in the last decade, is kind of a passing of the torch to a whole new array of executives. And instead of Larry Weinberg, people talk about Merritt Paulson. And, of course, back then, nobody really understood the potential of soccer. You know, I went to school on a basketball scholarship. You and I have talked about it. I always tell everybody, I got this scholarship offer from Gonzaga. It's one of the few things I put up on the wall, and I did just because I wanted to prove that a Jewish guy, you know, could play serious basketball. I had the scholarship offer from Gonzaga, but that's all people talked about, you know, back then, football, basketball, and baseball, the traditional, you know, sports. And now when I go to a Timber game, I mean, the level of energy and enthusiasm in the house just takes your breath away. And so there's a new generation of fans, and there's a kind of spirit associated with particularly soccer that really, I think, is sort of vintage Oregon. And Merritt Paulson pick up the torch from Larry Weinberg and Paul Allen.
Let me ask you, because, you know, Portland can be a tricky political city, and the Diamond Project's got some zoning things. They've got, obviously, they're going to need public support on transportation if they're going to build this thing. And the advice that you'd give, is it, you know, that you have to do little things right to in order to do the big things, or, you know, you've been through this.
When you want to do major projects in Oregon, the operative word, there's one word that is more important than anything else, and that is listen. Make sure, because Oregon is one of those places where everybody always talks about the stakeholders, and nobody really knows what it means, but it's making sure that everybody has a chance to be part, you know, of the debate. And, you know, whether it's Rip City or Soccer City USA, we're a proven sports, you know, town. Now, there are going to be some big challenges because, obviously, with the situation with respect to the graduation rate in Oregon high schools, and I've got legislation passed that's going to give us an opportunity to try some fresh stuff. Resources are tight. And I think that there will be a chance to make improvements in infrastructure that can help us get baseball off the ground and be good for the community as a whole. But it's looking for those kinds of opportunities after you listen to people and ensure that they don't feel that essentially some big money people came in and tried to, you know, force something on them.
Is that rooted in trust? Do you need trust of the public? Is that what listening's about?
Well, I think trust and listening are two sides of the same coin. Is that if you actually, the Wall Street Journal had an op-ed piece about this a couple of days ago. It was really interesting. It talked about people picking up new information about why people talk so much, and, you know, there's sometimes an insecurity, you know, that goes with talking so much. And I just just finished a Listening to the Future program at Cleveland High School. I'm on my way to do seven town meetings. And I said when I was going to be Oregon's first new senator in 30 years, I'd throw open the doors of government and I'd mostly listen. And there were places like Fossil, you know, that had never had a United States senator visit. And I went there just to listen.
That's awesome. U.S. Senator Ron Wyden with us. Hey, I appreciate you giving us some of your time. Obviously, I'd like to see an 8-team playoff. Anything you can do about that in Washington, D.C. would
well,
be great.
I want to wave my hand. I mean, you know, we got you know, Oklahoma City, you know, at home, you know, tonight. You know, obviously Nurkic is playing well, and you know, I'll tell you something else about it. You know, watching him, the way he's playing reminds me a little bit of Sabonis' skills in terms of some of the way you know, he plays. And I think, of course, having Damian in the MVP conversation is really great. So we got a lot going on, a lot to feel good about. And then I think I also want to take note of the fact that you know, our mutual friend Brenda, you know, Tracy, was named a Woman of Impact by Politico at their 6th annual Women Rule Summit, and it was really an honor for me to say something about her in the Congressional Record as well.
You've done big things for her, and I continue to love having you on this show. I appreciate that. Thank you, Senator.
Let's do it again soon. Thanks so much.
Sounds good.
Bye.
There it is. U.S. Senator Ron Wyden. He went on the show. He wanted to talk about Sabonis. He wanted to talk about Larry Weinberg. But it's so true. I'm watching the Portland Diamond Project, right? They have some big things that are going on. They've got a land parcel they'd like to build on that's currently zoned industrial. They've got an environmental inspection ahead. They're planning for transportation infrastructure improvements that are going to require support from the city. Listening and trust. You've got to build relationships. You've got to have trust. You've got to do the little things right or you don't have a shot. If you take anything from today's program, do the little things right. It's true of sports. Teams that win do the little things right. Businesses that win do the little things right. Listening and trust. Leave it right here. You got the bald-faced truth. Doing? Alabama Adriana, what are you doing? Let us live vicariously through you. Tell us something exciting.
Oh, man.
You bouldering?
I have like the most unexciting weekend planned ever.
What are you going to do? Clean up your apartment?
Yeah, clean up, unpack for my trip, just get ready for school on Monday.
How many roommates do you have?
I have 3 roommates.
Are they pleasant to live with?
One of them is.
Can we talk about this?
Yeah, we can talk about this.
They probably don't listen to the show anyway.
One of them woke me up at 7 a.m. for the second time this week by just playing her video games in the room next door really loudly.
What game is she playing?
I don't know.
That's inconsiderate.
Yeah, I have a job. She obviously doesn't.
Don't they have headphones?
Sorry, I'm a little salty today.
No.
I put my headphones on, the noise-canceling headphones, just so I wouldn't have to hear her yesterday. But then today it happened again, and I was like, this is not...
Doesn't she have headphones for the video game?
I don't. Apparently not.
We need to get her some headphones.
Yeah.
I'm not getting her anything.
Sounds like a... And is this somebody that you're friends with, or somebody that they just connected you with because you signed up to go to school?
No, this is just a random roommate.
Wow. So... Inconsiderate roommate playing video games loudly.
Yes. Before 8 a.m.
Before 8 a.m.
Yes. Not okay.
She's waking up at 8 a.m. to play video games.
I don't
know.
And the thing is, she goes to bed later than I do. So it's like, come on.
I'm still confused on waking up and playing video games. Like, that's what you're going to get out of bed for? Or
must be nice.
Or stay out of bed for?
Hey, but I do have to say, before this break, 2 of them were extremely dirty. But I came home from this break and the apartment was spotless and I was impressed. I was really, really, really happy with that.
That's good that they did that.
Low standards.
I know.
What kind of experience have you had with roommates? You ever had a bad roommate?
Yeah. Series of bad roommates. In college. I mean, that's part of going to college is you learn that what kind of people you don't want to live with. We had one roommate because what we did is... you know, I lived in the dorms for 1 year, and then I was in a house that was a three-bedroom house, and so it was shared by three people. And me and another guy could never find that third roommate that made it work. We tried 3 years in a row. The first year, we got a guy named Alan, who we only knew kind of from a distance. And Alan's issue first arose when the electrical bill showed up. We had an electrical bill for the first month that was suddenly like a $1,200 electrical bill. And we couldn't figure out. We're like, that's impossible. How do you go from, because we had lived in the house in the summer and the electrical bill would be like $90. How do you go from that when Alan moves into $1,200? How do you think? What are your theories?
He left a heater on or something.
Well, you might think.
Yeah.
Alabama Adriana, you got a theory on Alan's electrical bill?
Not turning the lights off when you leave a room?
No, Alan had something growing in his closet. Alan was growing weed.
His sun lamp.
He had these specialized lamps in his closet. And along with his, you know, he had a strange taste in music anyway. And hey, look, I'm not judging. Why are you laughing so hard?
I should have known.
$1,200 marijuana sun lamps. Alan was a grower before it was cool to be a grower.
Well, did you tell him to sell it and pay you the $1,200?
We just said, look, man, not judging you, don't care what you're doing in there, but you can't have the lamps on. You can't run that lamp. That's just not going to be a thing. So he moved the operation somewhere else. After, and he played like, and then here's the other thing, it was kind of sad too. Alan's dad would come to visit now and then, Dale. And so Dale would show up and he was trying desperately, I think, to connect with his son. And I got the impression they weren't all that close. But Dale would get smashed drunk to the point where we all had to take care of him. Like, he was throwing up all over the place and stumbling and, you know, he was trying to connect with his son. And that one didn't work out. After the end of 1 year, Alan moved out. Then Amani moved in. I had never lived with a female before. And Amani spoke Swahili and also was a hypochondriac. She claimed one morning, as my roommate and I were out like having breakfast, she claimed one morning to be paralyzed. She said, I'm paralyzed. I can't move. Which was a big concern to me. That's like a big deal. If somebody said, help me, I'm paralyzed. So we ran to the bedroom and she's laying in bed like with covers over her. And she says, I can't move my arms and legs. I'm paralyzed. My reaction to that is to call 911.
Yeah.
Very dramatic. Paramedics come, everything. And suddenly Amani, of like an hour later, is healed and can walk around. That, what?
Maybe she had sleep paralysis.
I wake up with a sleepy arm or something. You know, we all do that. But she claimed she couldn't move.
And she had some type of panic attack?
If I was paralyzed, that would be a big deal.
Yeah. Was it some type of panic attack? Was she...
I don't know. We just got used to it after a while. No. She got paralyzed once. It was a different ordeal every day. It was a different thing. Very dramatic. Needed a lot of attention. And we're like, hey, look, neither one of us is dating you, okay? This is not worth the drama that it was by the end of the year. She also had a problem with the phone bill. I was thinking about this the other day. Young people don't have this problem. You don't have this problem because you all have cell phones. I just said you all. You guys have cell phones, young people, right?
Yeah.
What did you think happened back in the day when there was only one phone in the house?
You have a landline.
Who pays for the landline?
You gotta split it.
Okay. There was always, like, it came down to a fraction of cents. It would be like, just to have the phone in the house, it would be like, we're each paying $8.32. Well, someone had to pay 34 or 33 cents, right? She always made a stink about she didn't want to pay that extra penny. Because we were like, hey, somebody's going to have to pay the penny. Like, it's a penny. Like, who cares? And she was also a slob in the kitchen.
Ooh.
Dirty dishes.
That's the worst.
Ooh.
Like, you go into the kitchen, like, clean up after yourself.
Okay, I cleaned out my fridge a few weeks ago, and there was something black in the back of it that I'm pretty sure was a banana.
Yeah.
I don't leave my food in the fridge anymore. I just like, I eat out all the time. I can't do it. It's terrible.
You need to give your, then we tried another roommate, Clint. Clint had a hard time because Clint's girlfriend broke up with him early in the semester. It was a nightmare for all of us. It was a lot of therapy, a lot of counseling. He was just down in general. I mean, it's just living with people. You learn. Clint's a good guy. Like, I, to this day, I'm still in touch with him kind of peripherally, you know, Facebook or whatever. And he's a good guy, but he went through a hard time in a relationship. You know how that happens?
Yep.
Somebody in the group is having a hard issue and suddenly it's no fun to play foosball anymore. You know what I mean? Like, the whole house suffers. We couldn't play Tecmo Bowl anymore. Couldn't bring her name up. He just was having a hard time getting over that relationship.
How old were you when you had your last roommate?
Probably 20. It was one of my first newspaper jobs. I was probably about 27, 26, right in there. And we were only, and that was good. That worked well. But I had situations like with Alabama Adriana. She's saying her roommates are playing the music loud, and so they are playing the video game too loud. Mitch, who was my last roommate, he worked in sales, but he was gone in the morning. He'd leave at like 6:30 in the morning. He was gone. But he was very forgetful. He would like cook something for breakfast and leave the oven on. I thought for a while he was trying to kill me, but I realized in the end, he's just very absent-minded. But once you are making enough money to live on your own, like how badly do you want to live and have your own place?
I would probably give a leg or an arm.
Yeah. That's what living with three or four people does for you. Don't forget that.
Yeah, don't you forget it.
Because you know what happens when you get older? You end up living with three or four people. I got about four people living in my house right now.
But the thing is, I've lived on my own in Birmingham. I had an apartment to myself, and it was the most amazing thing. And then now this.
No. Yeah. Can we get this roommate back?
From which
this roommate who played the video game too loud.
You're looking for revenge?
Get her on the show.
Why don't we give her a number out and we'll just have random BFT listeners call her all weekend?
No.
Hey, what video game are you playing? What time is it?
No, but I did play loud music as I was getting ready for work because she was still in there. So that was my revenge.
What time does she wake up in the morning?
I don't know. Earlier than me.
And she's going to bed later than you?
Yeah.
Oh, this sounds like trouble. Check her closet. Does. Make sure she's not growing anything. Sounds like trouble. All right, leave it right here. You got the bald face truth. What were they thinking is next?
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the bald face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.